when you had mentioned that you were growing up and things in the house, who generally made decisions?
Well, my mother and father, they talked things over, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was it a mutual kind of thing?
Yeah.
Did she ever work?
Oh, no. No. She had nothing to do at home.
Yeah.
No. No, my father never believed in... in those days, the women didn't go to work.
Uh-huh.
See? But it's just been in the past, I guess, 20 years or 30 years that the women have been going to work, see? But before that, they didn't. The woman's place was in the home, and the father brought home the bacon.
So you, when you were growing up, what kind of things did you want to do when you got older?
Well, I used to roller skate,
mm-hmm.
and I used to swim, dance. I used to put on shows. I used to be in a lot of shows, comedies and minstrel shows and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
know,
like
in a
neighborhood type theater?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I used to put on shows. I used to put on dances,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then I'd give out prizes for the best dancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had a happy life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you, when you were growing up, when you think of your future, what kinds of things did you see for yourself? Remember as a child?
Well, as a kid, I never thought really much of anything. Of course, my father used to take us into Boston to go to see the shows and everything like that. And then I never really had planned on what I was going to do,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then, as I say, my first job was in 1915 I was 15. It was 1918.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I first went to work.
Uh-huh.
Up at this leatherette place.
Mm-hmm. Now, what kinds of things, were they making things for the war at this place?
Well, they were making things for your shoes, like counters and the heels and box toes,
mm-hmm.
and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't know whether they were making them. I know we had all different sizes, and they may have made them for the army shoes,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then I worked in a box factory. And I worked at this powder factory where they made fireworks, but then at that time they wasn't making fireworks, they were making bullets and things,
mm-hmm.
for the war.
Well, this is during World War I.
Yeah.
Why did you go to work that first time?
I thought if I went to work, I would be able to help my mother, you know. I wouldn't get much money. I got $5 a week,
mm-hmm.
and she gave me 50 cents. Spending money,
uh-huh.
and I thought that was wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And then after a while, I worked there a month or two, and then I got a $2 raise.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, I was a millionaire. I had $7, but see, I always carry my money in, and whenever I wanted anything, my mother would give it to me.
What was, now you were living, this was in the house in Weymouth?
Yeah, in Weymouth.
What was that house like?
Well, it was a nice house. It had, let's see, 1, 2, 3... I guess it was 5 rooms,
uh-huh.
5 or 6 rooms, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all good-sized rooms, and we had a big porch and a garage,
mm-hmm.
yeah. It was right in the main street,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So how many of you would, like, be in terms of, like, sleeping? Did you sleep in a room with your sister?
Oh, my sister and I slept together.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, we didn't have all those children then. My mother didn't have all those children then. And then my brothers, my mother and father had their room, and then we had two other bedrooms. We had 4 bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And my brothers had their rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I used to walk in my sleep, and I used to be on the top stairs and just take 2 jumps and I'd be down the bottom of the stairs, and I never knew anything about it. And one night, my brothers and I, we thought we'd sleep out on the roof, because one part of it was flat, you know. We'd have to climb out the window to get on it. And I get up in my sleep and I walked all around the edge of the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, my brother, sister, the other brothers, don't say anything. Don't call her. If you do, she'll get scared and she might fall. So I walked all around. When I got through walking, I went and laid down on the mattress again and went to sleep. Yeah, I used to walk in my sleep all the time.
So,
and talk in my sleep.
And so you were only 15 when you went to work at the first job? And did you, what kind of work did you do in the, was it like a factory?
It was a factory, a leatherette factory. And, I did different jobs, but this one day I was rolling out these counters and box toes, and there was where they had been, soak them in old water and something else, glue.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they get when they dry, they get all chilled up. And I went to put it into the big roller machine. Oh, it's a big one. And my hand slipped in.
Mm-hmm.
And I took the top of this one off.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was all mashed.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl.
And your right hand.
Yeah.
Right hand, your, I guess, your third and fourth fingers.
Yeah. And the girl that was catching these box toes, she picked up my finger. And she said, oh, my God, she said, what's this? So one of the girls said, it's Millie's finger. So they had to take me to the doctor, and my doctor wasn't in, so we had to go to whatever doctor we could get, and they called him up and told him about the accident, and that we'd be right down. Well, we had to wait about 15 minutes before he let us in, and I said, I want to drink a water or something. And it took him 10 minutes to get the water,
mm-hmm.
dirty cup and everything. And he didn't bathe my fingers. He didn't do anything. He just took a piece of cotton batten and wrapped it around each finger and just tied it up. And he said, if it hits, come back in a week. And he said, if it don't hit, he said, forget about it. Oh, my God, I suffered all that day. Well, 3 days later, in this finger, I had a piece of thread growing out. It was an inch and a half long. That was caused on account of that cotton batten being in there, and my finger was all opened up, and the cotton got in there, and it started growing, and it rooted, and a piece of thread. And when I went to my own doctor that night, because I suffered all day, and we went down to the doctor's, and he had to send one of the patients out to get some stuff at the drugstore to take the bandage off because he didn't know how bad my finger was, and he didn't want to rip it off. He had to soak it off. And it took him an hour and a half to get the bandage off. And so when he finally got it off and everything, oh, that was terrible.
Mm.
So he told my mother, he said, I don't know if I can save the fingers or not.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he did it up and everything. And a couple of days later, that night, we went back to the doctor that did up the thing in the first place. And my mother said, oh, this is a little girl that hit today. I said, oh, yes, come in. She says, oh, no. She says, I just came to tell you that we've gone to our own doctor. She said, we tried to get him today and we couldn't, so that's why we came to you. And he was so mad. He said, if I'd known that, he said, I wouldn't have done anything for her. And he slammed the door right in our face. And, oh, my mother got so mad, she came out and she slammed the gate. And so we never went back to him. But I had to go to my own doctor, about every day.
Mm-hmm.
Until it finally got better. And one day I had my hand, I was on the bed, and I had my hand laying like this. And my sister come along and sat on it. And she bruised it all. Oh, God, I almost fainted.
Well, this is during World War I. And you mentioned a little earlier, when you were sitting at the table, you said that they used to have you hide.
Yeah, up there so that the inspectors wouldn't see me because I was 15 years old,
uh-huh.
and you'd have to be 16, see?
Mm-hmm.
And so they'd hide me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, sometimes I'd be up there a couple of hours up in the attic, and all these big hides, you know, were hanging down,
mm-hmm.
and it takes someone to cover me up with it. So if the inspectors went up there, they wouldn't see me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'd get up there, and I couldn't move. I'd have to stay there all covered up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd come out, I'd be red as a beet.
Oh.
It's a hot summer, too. Oh, it was awful.
So you would, how long did you work at the
Radio Center? Oh, I think I worked there, let me see. I went in 1918. Well, I was working there about 3 or 4 years, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then I got hit, and then they laid me off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so you worked there for about 1921?
Yeah,
like
because
that.
I was working there when my sister died,
mm-hmm.
and she died in 21. And then after she died, I worked at the box factory where she did, because they needed somebody, and I thought, well, I got laid off then anyway, so I went and I worked in the box factory.
Okay, now you mentioned to me that you had the flu.
Yeah, I got the flu during World War I,
uh-huh.
and I was very sick. My sister was over to take care of my cousins and my aunt. They had it, and they needed help. And she loved kids, so she'd go over. And, of course, I was working, and I couldn't go anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she brought the flu home to us, and that's mm-hmm. when I took sick, and she took sick.
How many hours a day did you normally work at, like, the letter factory?
Let's see, your grandson. I'd work about, I guess it was 8 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Regular
8 hours? Oh, yeah.
You just go in at in the morning?
Yeah, at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. So it was a day shift.
Yeah, a day shift,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And so she came back with the flu from taking care of the
yeah.
cousins.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And did you then stop working while you had the flu?
Oh, yeah, I couldn't mm-hmm. Work.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went back, that's when I got laid off. Because,
mm-hmm.
see, I hurt my hand first. And then I got the flu, and then when I went back after I got better with the flu, they laid me off.
Uh-huh.
See.
Now, they had said before that they wouldn't lay you off?
Yeah, they said I have a job there for life,
uh-huh.
but then they laid me off.
Uh-huh.
Same as with everybody else that got hit. There was a woman that lost her finger. Quite a few lost their fingers there,
mm-hmm.
and they all got laid off.
Mm-hmm. So you think that was the first thing in the company did?
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh.
Were many women working in that factory?
Yeah, there were mostly all women, and there was quite a few.
Uh-huh.
See, they had upstairs and downstairs, 2 or 3 stories high,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they're out of business now. They've been out of business for years.
Uh-huh.
See, the owners died and everything. And so the buildings still stand there, but part of it is being used now for furniture. Some furniture company's got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you then went to work at the box factory. So was it your sister's old job, or?
Yeah. Well, she was working there, and so I figured I'd take it. They needed somebody, and they said that I could
mm-hmm.
work there.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked there, I guess, about a year, and then I saw an ad in the paper about going to work in hotels
mm-hmm.
as a waitress,
mm-hmm.
Waiting on the help. So I took that. That was up at Old Orchard, Maine. And I liked it. I waited on the help and everything. And then the head waiter had me go in the officer's help,
mm-hmm.
Dining room.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked in there. And then he had me training the girls to go into the main dining room.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally I went in the main dining room. And then in the winter, he would go to Florida.
Uh-huh.
So he'd take his crew with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to go to Florida in the winter and Old Orchard, Maine in the summer.
And what years was that?
That was in 1919 or 1920.
Mm-hmm.
Because 1921 was the first time I went to Florida.
Uh-huh.
It was around 20 and 21 when
uh-huh.
I started doing that. And then I went to Florida and I worked there for a while. I worked down at the first place in Florida was Deland, Florida, and then I worked at Palm Springs,
mm-hmm.
and I worked at Augusta, Georgia, and what else? Oh, that was the only places I worked there, and then I came back, and I worked at Grand Canyon, and I worked at Death Valley.
Mm-hmm.
So
you were just always traveling with his
Yeah, well, then I, the following year, the last year I worked in Florida was with another head waiter.
Mm-hmm.
I think this other fellow died because I never heard any more
mm-hmm.
of him, see. And so I went and I worked with him. And then when I came to California here, I saw an ad in the paper for Fred Harvey girls.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked for them.
So you were a Harvey girl?
Yeah, I was a Harvey girl.
You know.
Yeah. So I worked at Death Valley, Sequoia, and the Grand Canyon for Fred Harvey.
So now, what would a Harvey girl do then around that time? What kind of thing?
Well, a waitress work, you know, waiting on table. And I did that for a while, and then they had me working in the pantry, so then I became the head pantry woman. I used to have to make all the salads and desserts and things.
Now, these
sandwiches,
they were located around train things, weren't they? Or is that, did that happen later?
What?
The Harvey House, were those near trains, or weren't those connected somehow with railroads? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there was a railroad right there, up at Grand Canyon. And, no, not Grand Canyon. Yeah, Grand Canyon, there's a railroad there. Yeah. But it was a family that had this, the Harvey brothers, see? And one day I was working in the pantry, and one of the Harvey boys came out, and I didn't know who he was. So he came into the pantry, and he sat washing his hands, and I bawled him out. I said, listen, I said, you're not allowed in here. I said, I don't know who you are, but you're going to get out and stay out. I said, if you want to wash your hands, you go to the men's room, not in the pantry. I said, I got to wash salads there. And I said, I don't know where you had your hands last. And so the chef came over to me afterwards, and she said, do you know who you kicked out of here? And I said, no. I said, you better not come back. He said, that was the Fred Harvey guy. Oh, I felt terrible. I said, oh, there goes my job. So anyway, the guy, he went over, he saw the chef, and he saw the manager. And he said, he wondered who I was and everything, see? He said, well, I wish we had more girls like her working here. We wouldn't have to worry. So I thought, well, Jesus, I'm not going to lose my job. But, oh, I was embarrassed. I was ashamed to face him, you know? And so there was one waitress waited on him, and she didn't know who he was, see? And, you know, he used to have a habit. He'd sit down at the table with his family and everything, and he'd get a salad. And he'd take that salad, and he'd dump it out in his napkin and look all through it to see that there wasn't any wilted leaves or anything like that, see? So anyway, the waitress was waiting on him, and he wanted a piece of pie. So she thought she'd be smart. So she goes and she takes two pieces of pie and puts them together to make it bigger. Well, if I give him a big piece of pie, I might get a good tip. So anyway, she comes in and she brings the pie into him and shuts it down. And he said, geez, that's an awful big order. She'll forget about it. She said, yeah. I just doubled it up. And he says, do you do that to everybody? Oh, she says, well, sometimes. She says, it all depends upon who it is. So he goes to the head waiter, and he says he wanted who that waitress was. And he told her. So he goes out to the manager, and he says, I want that waitress fired. She gets fired right on the spot because she was going against the rules. She thought by her doubling up, she'd get a good tip, but she got fired. So I'm glad it wasn't me.
It sounds like then that you were doing a lot of traveling around.
I have. I've done a lot of traveling. Yeah.
What did you do, even maybe back when you were in the leatherette company and the box company?
Yeah.
What kinds of things did you do in terms of social activities?
Well, as I say, the only thing that we really did was I'd put on shows and everything, and we'd have parties. The gang would all get together. There's a clubhouse next door to me, and we'd have a little party up there and everything. And well, that's about all we did, except going roller skating and dancing. Yeah, we did that. I used to love to roller skate. One night I was skating, and a fella asked me to skate with me. He saw me skating, and I saw him skating, and I said, gee, he's a wonderful skater. He's doing fancy stuff and everything. So he says, I'd like to skate with you. He said, you're a good skater. And I said, I don't want to do any of that fancy stuff because I don't know how to do it. So we're skating around and we're going all right, and then he stopped fancy stuff and I managed. We were doing good. And all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but his skate and my skate got caught, and I went flying, and I was knocked out. You could hear my head crack all over the place. I was out for 20 minutes. And I, oh boy, did I ball him out. Yeah. But I went back skating again. Oh, I love skating.
So, a lot of roller skating and parties and things like that.
Yeah.
Did,
And dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you still, like, when you got paid on these jobs on the road, did you still send the money back to your family then? Or was
I used to send money home. One time when I was working up at Old Orchard, one of my brothers fell and broke his arm. My sister fell downstairs and she got hurt. And one of the other ones was sick, so I told the head waiter, I said, gee, I said, I'd like to go home. I said, only for a couple of days. I said, there's so much sickness and everything, and my brother's been getting here. And he said, gee, he said, yeah, you bet. He says, he hoped everything would be all right. He said, but he said, I think you'd better turn the house into a hospital. So I had $200, and I brought it home, and I gave it to my mother.
Mm-hmm, that's because, quite a sum then.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I gave it to her because I knew she needed it, see. And, I was good with my money. I always wanted to help out, you know, one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was working in New York one time, and come Christmas time, and, oh, I bought suits for the boys and dresses and things for the girls and everything, and brought them home for Christmas. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I like to give, you know. I like to help people if I can.
Mm-hmm.
I always do, even since I was a kid. And one time, I just learned to swim. And I guess I was just, I'd just known how to swim about 2 weeks. And I was down at the beach swimming away, and all of a sudden somebody grabbed me. And she went down the second time, and she was pulling me down. And I said, leave me go. And I said, I can help you. And I said, if you don't leave me go, I can't help you. So anyway, I swung around and I grabbed her by the hair and I kind of broke loose from her and I got a hold of her and I got her into shore. And her sister was there and she come running out and wondered how her sister was and everything. I said, well, she's all right now, but I said, I thought it was going to go down, we're going down the third time.
Yeah.
And so the lifeguard was on shore flirting with the girls, and this woman's sister went up to him and bawled him out. She said, if you was on the job, she said, this little girl wouldn't have to struggle to save my sister. I was only 12 years old, but I was glad I saved her. Not the both of us didn't go under, but she blasted that guy out, and he was so embarrassed, you know, to think that he should have been on the job, and he wasn't. Yeah. That was down Tinian Beach, down in the pond.
So that's where you would go from?
Swimming.
Yeah. When you worked in that ammunition factory, was that after the box factory and before the...
After the box factory, I think it's... I think it was later than that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Because I worked at the... Oh, it might have been when I came home from Old Austin, and I got a job up there, another girl and I.
Mm-hmm.
We had a hard time getting there because we had no transportation, and sometimes we'd have to hitchhike.
How far was it?
Oh, it was quite a ways. It must have been about, I guess, 20 miles or so. And I only worked a short time. I guess I didn't work any more than a week or two because I got tetanus poison. And if I'd stayed there any longer, it would have killed me. Well, it's from the gunpowder. And it gets into your system. And I just puffed up, and I broke out, and I was yellow and very, very sick. Why, a woman, I didn't have a phone, and I wanted to call my lawyer, and he called me at this woman's house, and I went over, and when she saw me, she didn't want me to touch the phone because I was such a mess. And so she held the phone for me so I could talk. And I could hardly talk. I was a mess. Nobody knew me. I had changed, though. It was terrible. I was awful sick. So...
And you had seen like an accident or something happened at the same time?
Oh, yeah. It was about 5 o'clock in the morning. See, we worked the night shift.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard this awful bang, explosion. You'd hear almost, you know, quite often. But I happened to look out, and I saw this man go flying through the air. See, the whole building blew apart,
mm-hmm.
and he went out with it.
So even in just the short time you were there, you heard a lot of explosions?
Yeah.
It was not like you safe a place to work.
Oh, I know it wasn't.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Any questions?